Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study coming from Roland Springs Baptist Church. And we are now in the study of the book of Daniel. And in our study, we are on chapter 5. And this is lesson number 7. So we always begin our studies with prayer. So let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for the great Almighty God that you are. We praise your great name. And Father, we look to you now as we study your word. I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit, that dwells in the hearts of all believers, will lead, guide, and direct us, Father, as we study your word. And I pray, Father, that you will encourage each of us through your word to know you more, Father, and to be obedient to your word as we live our lives each day to bring honor and glory to you, Father. And I ask it now in the name of Jesus. Now, our study today is about pride. We're seeing a lot of this in the kings that are ruling at the time of Daniel. And we want to look always, when you study a chapter, at the key words. So, in this chapter, we found the key words were kingdom, dreams, vision, interpretation, and Most High. And the overall theme of the entire book of Daniel is about God, the Most High, that is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whomever he wishes. And we read in the book of Psalms that God puts kings in and he takes kings out because he is sovereign. So let's begin by looking at a review of what we have studied in the previous chapters. In chapters 1 through 6, we saw that they were in chronological order, that here Daniel interpreted dreams and or visions of Babylonian kings and about the coming Gentile kingdom. And then in chapters 7 through 12, which we haven't got to yet, but we're going to get into those chapters a little later. But in doing your overview, we learned that these also are chronological, 7 through 12. They're in order, in other words. But they come, these chapters, 7, 12, come in between chapters 1 and 6. So, here in these chapters, 7 through 12, we're going to learn again about Daniel's dreams and visions and also about the coming kingdom in relation to the people of Israel. So, let's look kind of at where we are. In chapter 1 through 4, we learn that Daniel and the three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, entered the king's service, and they were fed because they refused to eat the king's food, requested to eat just that God said would be good. And they were 10 times better than the others. And then in chapter 2, we saw that Daniel interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And in chapter 3, we saw that the three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, didn't bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's image, but they were put in a furnace. But also we learned that they were delivered from that furnace fire by God Almighty. And in chapter 4, we see where that God Most High humbled Nebuchadnezzar. And here in this chapter, we saw that Nebuchadnezzar recognized that God rules. Now, Daniel 5, that we're getting into today, is at the end of the Babylonian Empire, when Darius the Mede received the kingdom. And we'll start by reading the first four verses of chapter 5 and see how that this is all beginning to take place. Verse 1, King Belshazzar gave a great banquet for 1,000 of his nobles and drank wine with them. And while Belshazzar was drinking his wine, he gave orders to bring in the gold and silver goblets that Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had taken from the temple of Jerusalem, so that the king and his nobles, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them. So they brought in the gold goblets that had been taken from the temple of God in Jerusalem, and the king and his nobles, his wives, concubines, drank from them. And as they drank the wine, they praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. So what then do we see is taking place now that King Belshazzar has taken over the Babylonian Empire and he is ruling? And here we see that he is having a banquet, a huge banquet. And he is the fifth king of Babylon after Nebuchadnezzar, who was the greatest of all kings in the Neo-Babylonian Empire. And he reigned the longest. Here Belshazzar, we will learn that he reigned for 43 years. And none of the four kings between Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar reigned more than 5 years. So Belshazzar reigned for about 14 years. The entire time of the empire, Babylonian Empire, was about 43 years, I believe. And then the text tells us that Belshazzar was that Nebuchadnezzar was Belshazzar's father. Now, here we learn the word father, and if you look that up in the Hebrew, it can also mean grandfather or forefather. And then it could have been that Belshazzar was Nebuchadnezzar's grandson through his mother, the queen, that's in this chapter. So, let's look then to see what is taking place at this banquet. We see that Belshazzar, the king, and his guests began drinking from the gold goblets and the silver vessels that they had taken from the temple in Jerusalem that was destroyed. This temple was destroyed about 586 B.C. And as they drank from these vessels that were the vessels from the temple of God. They praise their gods that they worship. The scripture says, of silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Now, let's go forward and read verses 5 through 12 and see what is going to take place as the king and all his great host are having this great banquet. Verse 5, suddenly the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall near the lampstand in the royal palace. The king watched the hand as it wrote. His face turned pale, and he was so frightened that his legs became weak and his knees were knocking. The king summoned the enchanters, astrologers, and diviners, and then he said to these wise men of Babylon, "Whoever reads this writing and tells me what it means will be clothed in purple and have a gold chain placed around his neck, and he will be made the third highest ruler in the kingdom." And then all the king's wise men came in, but they could not read the writing or tell the king what it meant. So Belshazzar became even more terrified, and his face grew more pale, and his nobles were baffled. And then in verse 10, the queen, hearing the voices of the king and the nobles, came into the banquet hall. "And may the king live forever," she said. "Don't be alarmed. Don't look so pale. There is a man in your kingdom who has the spirit of the holy gods in him. In the time of your father, he was found to have insight and intelligence and wisdom like that of the gods. Your father, King Nebuchadnezzar, appointed him chief of the physicians, enchanters, astrologers, and diviners. He did this because Daniel, whom the king called Belshazzar, was found to have a keen mind and knowledge and understanding, and also the ability to interpret dreams, explain riddles, and solve difficult problems. Call for Daniel, and he will tell you what the writing means." So, here we see that while the king and all of the nobles were praising their false gods, that a hand appeared, and it wrote on the wall. And, of course, we see that King Belshazzar, he was so frightened that the scripture says that he became pale, and his knees began to knock, and he called for someone to interpret the message, which evidently was written in a language that he didn't understand. So, here the queen that was not in the banquet, we see that she comes in. Undoubtedly, she heard about this writing, and the queen knew about Daniel's ability to interpret such things. And so, since Belshazzar's wives and concubines were at the feast, and the queen was not until she heard of the writing, it seems that she was not one of Belshazzar's wives. And perhaps she was his mother. We don't know that for sure. She referred to Daniel as one in whom was a spirit of the holy gods. The same thing Nebuchadnezzar wrote in Daniel 4. So, we're seeing in these verses that Belshazzar has sent for Daniel. He says, "Call for Daniel." And so, this is what the queen had said that he was to do. He was to call for Daniel. So, let's go forward now in verses 13 through 16. And see what's going to take place. Verse 13. So Daniel was brought before the king, and the king said to him, "Are you Daniel, one of the exiles my father, the king, brought from Judea? I have heard that the spirit of the gods is in you, and that you have insight, intelligence, and outstanding wisdom. And the wise men and the enchanters were brought before me to read the writing and tell me what it means, but they could not explain it. Now, I have heard that you're able to give interpretations and to solve difficult problems. If you can read this writing and tell me what it means, you will be clothed in purple and have a gold chain placed around your neck, and you will be made the third highest ruler in the kingdom." Now, here we see that the king told Daniel what he had heard from the queen about him, and he asked if he was that same Daniel who was the one from the exiles of Judea. So we know in reading and studying about him being one of the exiles. So he had been exiled now in Babylon for about 66 years. And this would make Daniel about 80 years old, because remember, he was a teenager at the time that he was exiled. And here we're seeing how the king has heard about him. He's called him in, and he's asking him if he is this person, if he can interpret dreams, for him to interpret what this writing was on the wall. And he told him, he said, "If you can interpret this, then you will be clothed in purple and a gold chain placed around your neck, and you will be made the third highest in the ruler of the kingdom." So here is the king, very desperate to find out what this writing is. We need to kind of look at this and imagine if we were, say, having a party, a huge number of guests, and all at once there appeared on the side of the wall just a hand, and that hand was writing what he sees there, and it's in a language that he can't interpret. And imagine how frightening that it would have been for him, the king, and all the guests. So let's see what Daniel says, how that God, through Daniel, because of Daniel's obedience to God, is going to give him the interpretation of this writing. We know in the past that Daniel never took claim for the interpretations of the dreams and visions. And here we're going to see again that he honors God as being the one and the only one that can interpret this. Let's look at verse 17 through 21. "Then Daniel answered the king, 'You may keep your gifts for yourself and give your reward to someone else. Nevertheless, I will read the writing for the king and tell him what it means. Your Majesty, the Most High God, gave your father Nebuchadnezzar sovereignty and greatness and glory and splendor. And because of the high position, he gave him all the nations and peoples of every language dreaded and feared him. Those the king wanted to put to death, he put to death. And those he wanted to spare, he spared. Those he wanted to promote, he promoted. And those he wanted to humble, he humbled. But when his heart became arrogant and hardened with pride, he was disposed from his royal throne and stripped of his glory. He was driven away from people and given the mind of an animal. He lived with the wild donkeys and ate grass like the ox. In the body, his body was drenched with the dew of heaven until he acknowledged that the Most High God is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and sits over them anyone he wishes. Now then, we're seeing that Daniel has answered the king in these verses. He told the king to keep his gifts and to give the rewards to someone else. Daniel, he was 80 years old, and he knew that God was going to take care of him the rest of his life, just like he had in the past. And he didn't need these gifts. He didn't need rewards. So here we see he had been through all of that before he had seen the greatest of all Babylonian kings turn to the Lord as a result. And we see that God had been working through him and through his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So Daniel reminded Belshazzar of what he is. Belshazzar had known about God Most High's dealings with Nebuchadnezzar, his father, or his grandfather. We know that here he tells about Nebuchadnezzar's pride and how that God brought him down, and that he realized. Daniel said of how the Most High had granted Nebuchadnezzar sovereignty, and that because of this, Nebuchadnezzar he elevated, and he humbled men just as he wished. And when his heart was lifted up, he became full of pride. The Most High humbled him. And Daniel goes on to see how he lost his mind until he recognized God Most High rules and gives rules to whomever he desires. Now, we know as you study other scriptures that God hates pride and that he opposes the proud. And proud men don't seek God. They say that he doesn't exist. And pride comes before dishonor, destruction, and being brought down to humility. We saw that as we studied in that chapter where King Nebuchadnezzar was brought down from his pride. Now, we know that God not only is able to humble those who walk in pride, but he does. He actually does humble those. He did King Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar and Hezekiah were both great kings, and they humbled themselves before God, and therefore they didn't suffer his wrath. But here we're looking at Belshazzar. He is praising the gods of gold and silver, and he is denying God. So let's look at verses 22 through 30. And see how that Belshazzar does not humble himself and what is going to come upon him because of his pride, and that he won't humble himself before God. Let's read 22 of chapter 5. But you, Belshazzar, his son, have not humbled yourself, though you knew all this. He's saying here that Belshazzar is his son of Nebuchadnezzar. Instead, you have set yourself up against the Lord of heaven. You have the goblets from his temple brought to you, and you and your nobles, your wives, your concubines, drank wine from them. You praise the gods of silver, gold, bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which cannot see or hear or understand. But you did not honor the God who holds in his hand your life and all your ways. Therefore, he sent the hand that wrote the inscription. So what he is saying now in these verses, Daniel is saying to him that you are so full of pride and you have been so disobedient against God, even by taking the holy vessels that came from the temple that were from God's house, and here you and your guests, your nobles, are drinking wine out of God's holy nobles. And because of this, this is why that God has sent this message. And this message is to you, King Belshazzar. And let's see what the message is as God gives this inscription to Daniel that he reads to King Belshazzar, looking at verse 25. This is the inscription that was written: Mene, Mene, Tekel, Pharsin. Here is what these words mean. Mene means God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. Tekel, ye have been weighed on the scales and found wanting. Pharaz, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. And then Belshazzar commanded Daniel to be clothed in purple. A gold chain was placed around his neck, and he was proclaimed the third highest ruler in the kingdom. And that very night, king of the Babylonians was slain, and Darius the Mede took over the kingdom at the age of 62. So here we see in these verses that Daniel gives the interpretation. He told him that he had not humbled himself before the king, but instead had exalted himself against the Lord of heaven, even though he knew what had happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. So here, Belshazzar did not humble himself or glorify God. And God himself was holding the very breath of life and everything about him in his hands. So, because of those sins, God sent a message that he had numbered Belshazzar's kingdom and put it to an end. The word here, Mene, M-E-N-E, means it is certain, it is numbered and finished. And then the word Tekel, he had been weighed on God's scales and found deficient. In Chaldea, it says, "Thou art weights." It's about weights. They aren't at the top. Light found wanting, unworthy. So, Perez, it meant that his kingdom had been divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Already, this was taking place. So, there was, in verse 29, you see, there was no sign of repentance from Belshazzar. He gave the gifts and the authority to Daniel. So, the judgment had fell now upon King Belshazzar from God. So, the king was killed that night of the feast, and Darius, the Mede, received the kingdom. So, we know in Daniel 2:21, it says, God, he removes kings and establishes kings. And also we learn that the Persians had defeated the Medes, whose forces formed a coalition called the Medo-Persian Empire, in which both Medes and Persians ruled, but Persia dominated. And remember the statue that we looked at earlier, that King had set up, and all were to worship, but Daniel and his friends, of course, refused to worship that statue. But remember that the head represented Nebuchadnezzar, the empire of Babylon. And then we know that next, the Medes and the Persians, that's what's taking place now, represented the arms and the chest. And now we're seeing that here God is taking the very life, this very time of Belshazzar, and that the Medes, who is King Darius the king, is coming to take over, and later the Persians coming in, and they come together in a coalition to fight against other countries and nations. And that's why that it's called the Medes and the Persians, the Medo-Persian. In the book of Isaiah, and I'm not going to read all of this book of Isaiah, it's verses 1 through 13, but I'm going to try to just explain a little bit. This was profited by Isaiah even before Daniel. All that's taking place now in Daniel was prophesied. Isaiah prophesied to the southern kingdom of Judah. Now this was in verse 1 through 13 of Isaiah 45. During the last 17 to 19 years of the northern kingdom of Israel, before they were taken captive by Assyria in 722 B.C., and for another 40 or so years after that. And God revealed through Isaiah that a king named Cyrus would build his city, Jerusalem, and let his exiles go free. And that prophecy was given between 722 and 681 B.C., and Cyrus didn't reign in Persia until 559 B.C. and didn't defeat Babylon and begin reigning there until 539 B.C. when Isaiah named Cyrus Judea, Judah, I keep saying Judea, Judah, was still many years from captivity. And you see, in these prophecies of Isaiah and Jeremiah, and in the book of Chronicles, all of this was prophesied before it took place. And we can look back and see how that all of it took place just as God had said that it would. What God says, it will happen. It says that God would subdue nations before Cyrus, and Babylon was one of them, and that he would loose the loins of kings, and Belshazzar was one of them. So God spoke Cyrus's name so that he and Israel would know that he is God. Now, looking forward, we look at the book. I'm going to just give you some scriptures. You can read Jeremiah 25, 1 through 13, and you can see the prophecy of all that we're studying now that's taking place in the book of Daniel. And in the book of Ezra, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, we can see again that Cyrus gave the remaining exiles the things that Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the house of God in Jerusalem, the vessels which Belshazzar drank from at his feast for the gods. They took the 5,400 articles of gold and silver with them as they returned to Judah. And then in chapter 3 of Ezra, verses 1 through 13, we see that when they returned to Judah, they built the altar so that they could make sacrifices to the Lord who had preserved them from their captivity. So, what do we learn in this chapter? What is so important for us to know? What is God placed here? First, we want to look at God. That's what it's all about. Remember, that's the theme of the whole book, to see the sovereignty of God. He is the Most High God. He is ruler over the realm of mankind, and that he sets over it whomever he wishes. And we see his wisdom and his power. All wisdom and all power belongs to God. And God is the one that changes times and epochs. He is the one that created and made the time, and he is the one that made the seasons. And he removes kings and he establishes kings. Now, in the time that we're living, it's presidents of this country, this nation. Some of the other countries have kings. But we, this country, have presidents, and God is the one that puts in the presidents. He is the one that takes them out. He has all power. Whether they accept that, they may be like Nebuchadnezzar, or they may be like Belshazzar, so full of pride that they won't admit that God is the one that places them there. And if they do not bow down to God, if they do not humble themselves, God can take them out, and will. So, in studying this, we're going to learn that God is going to establish a kingdom that will endure forever. All of these other kingdoms come and go down through time. But remember, in that statue that we looked at, there was a stone cut out. And it crushed all of the feet and the toes which were other nations. And the stone is the one that endures. And we know that that stone represents Jesus. He is one that is going to come and set up his kingdom that will be an everlasting kingdom. So be in prayer as we study through this book of Daniel. Next week we will go into lesson 8, and we're going to learn about integrity, because we're going to learn about how that Daniel, he had so much integrity, and he was so strong in his belief. And we can look at other men, but we're studying right now about Daniel. And next week, study and be in prayer as you study. Pray for one another and pray for me. So let's close today in prayer and just continue to study and to put yourself in the place of Daniel and ask yourself this question: could I stand if I was put to the test as Daniel? We never know what we may have to stand for. We know that God is coming, and we may be put to the test, maybe not for our life, but to test our faith. Let us pray. Father, do give us the strength and the courage to stand strong, never to deny you as God Almighty, but Father, to have the strength. And we know, Father, that we cannot do this without you. But we have the Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit, that dwells in us to help us to overcome. And I pray now that each and everyone that is listening and that is studying your word, that you will give the strength and the courage and the power to face whatever comes before them and becomes before me, to stand faithful and true to you, Father, in our everyday life, because you are Almighty. And Father, you will never leave us. Your word promises that you will never leave us. And we thank you and praise you. And we ask it all now in the name of Jesus. Amen.